Fionnuala Flanagan was just nominated for her second Tony Award, 45 years after her first nomination, for playing Aunt Maggie Faraway in The Ferryman. The play itself received 9 Tony nominations, tied for the most of any play this season, and overall it has received more award nominations than any other play of the year. Fionnuala was born and raised in Dublin, made her Broadway debut 51 years ago in a play called Lovers. Her previous Tony nomination was for her 1974 performance in Ulysses in Nighttown, which was her last appearance on Broadway before The Ferryman. On TV, she has appeared in everything from Lost, How the West Was Won, and won an Emmy for her role in Rich Man, Poor Man. On film, she has appeared in The Others, Waking Ned, and Youngblood, just to name a few. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Fionnuala Flanagan to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great honor to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
I saw you in this performance, in this play, I guess in the fall, and was just blown away. And it was just a beautiful performance, and it is a stunning, beautiful piece of work. How did you first come to it, given that it had already had its London run, then it comes to Broadway? How did you become associated with it?
Well, they sent me the script and they asked me if I would put something on tape, which I did and sent to them. And then they immediately asked me, would I come into New York and meet Sam Mendes? And I did. And I read for him and we talked. And so then he offered me the role and I was delighted and terrified and delighted all over again. And so that's sort of how it happened. And I actually happen to know the actress who originated the role in London. Mm. She and I have worked together, but she didn't want to come to New York or do it again or whatever. And most all of that cast had been doing it on and off in London for almost 2 years. So they were, some of them were only too glad not to have to do it again, even though this was Broadway. But I was delighted to do it. So
tell me about the terrified part. What was terrifying about this particular role?
Well, I learned very fast. I learned dialogue very fast. But in this role, and now that you've seen it, you know, I don't have dialogue with anybody. It's they're all non sequiturs, and I talk endlessly and tell stories.
Right.
And then at the same time, she's a character who moves in and out of various times, like the present and the past, and probably into the future too. She does. She's sort of the Sybil of the piece, if you will, insofar as she knows what's going to happen. And even though she doesn't know, she knows. You know, you don't play that she knows. She knows, but she has these trance-like episodes where she sees what's going to happen. And so that made it, you know, doubly difficult to, you have to be very accurate with the words. So that took me a long time to learn those and get it down absolutely pat. And of course, to keep the rhythm of the play, because the play has a certain rhythm. And if you drop anything, then the whole rhythm goes to hell in a handbasket.
It's such a beautiful, the big scene that you have is the start of the second act, and the children see that you are with it, and that you are communicative, and
yes,
and they tune in to hear what you have to say, and then as you say, it's just this torrent, and
yeah,
it's so lovely, and they learn so much about you, and there's that moment where they lose you and you can see that there is sorrow that you know they can't wait for you to come back.
Yes, it's that's why she's called Aunt Maggie Far Away, because she goes far away in her mind, in her thoughts. It's interesting, you know, to me that the only people she talks to or communicates with are the children.
Yes.
And that, you know, at the top of the second act, and she tells some stories and tells them about where she's been in her mind or in her travels. She's a time traveler, you know. And I said to Jez Butterworth, you know, oh, that's fine for me to play. I've done Star Trek, and so I know about time travel. But in the first act, of course, the scene I have when I talk to Uncle Pat, it's really, I'm talking to him as though we are back in our childhood.
Right.
And I ask him if daddy is awake yet, you know. So she deals with childhood, and that's what she communicates with, and doesn't really deal with the adults at all in the play. And at one point when I was struggling with the lines, and I said to the kids, who are all wonderful, by the way, and they're all New York actors, I said to them, you know, if I dry, if I go up, you know, there's no help. Because I'm out there all alone, as it were, with you guys. Mm. And so I don't know what I'm. And one of them said to me, oh, don't worry. We thought of that. We write your words on our hands and then just hold up our hands to you. which I thought they didn't have to do that. But I thought it was a charming and a sweet and lovely thing for them to actually think up.
Well, speaking of lovely, then comes the Tony nomination, which is beautiful because it's a beautiful performance and certainly very deserving. But then, of course, the story that it really does celebrate 50 years on Broadway.
Yes, and you know, the Broadway League holds a ceremony once a year, earlier in the year, where they celebrate people who have spent 50, 25 years on Broadway. And they invited me along to that, and I hadn't even remembered that it was 50 years ago, 1968, when I first did Lovers here. And they gave me a pin to celebrate 50 years on Broadway. And I was so chuffed by that. I cannot tell you. I was just bowled over. I think I wept silently into my napkin. And it was very moving. And, I mean, that is a more than half a lifetime.
So having done theater in London and in Ireland here, and it has been quite some time since you have been on Broadway, what is it like to return and not only to be in such a production, but in a runaway hit production?
Oh, quite wonderful. I mean, in every way, quite wonderful. We did work very hard. Even though we had the original London cast was what I joined for the Broadway run. And now I'm working with the American cast who took over from them. And I stayed on with the American cast. And I'm very glad I did. I had a sense that the others left on February 17th. But I had a sense that I wasn't finished with this character yet. I hadn't gone the full journey with her. So I stayed on, and the actress who was to replace me then, after 8 weeks, had to bow out for medical reasons, and so I'm staying until the end of June, and I'm glad about that because it's like the play has its own rhythm, and there is a lifespan, if you will, to grow and learn the character, learn more about the character, and now I feel I really do know her. And I'm glad to sort of drag her around the stage and up and down the stairs every night. And although I said to the producer, you know, the play won't kill me, but the stairs certainly will, because we have to go up, I think it's 35 steps, and I do that like four times a night to get to the stage. But I'm sure I have to have something to complain about, so there's my complaint.
The play itself, of course, is it's beautiful and tells the story. It's set during the Troubles in Ireland and tells the story of a family of a former IRA activist living in their farmhouse in Northern Ireland in 1981. For many in the audience, I assume it's probably an introduction to the Troubles and an introduction to understanding what those times were like. I'm curious as to your, especially even with now working with an American cast, of your thoughts on portraying that time and showing that story to an American audience.
Well, I'm glad, and I think Jez has written it wonderfully so that it gives people an opportunity as an introduction to that history. I mean, the hunger strike, which is taking place as the play goes on, was a watershed event in our history in Ireland and has never really been the the fallout from that has never really been dealt with adequately in the north of Ireland, and there are families that are fractured and still suffer from that. But what helped me enormously was I did Terry George's first film, which was a film called Some Mother's Son, which Helen Mirren and I did, and that was about the hunger strike. And specifically, I played a Republican, Irish Republican mother of a hunger striker. And so I had done a lot of research on that and met many of the families from the hunger strike who are families of hunger strikers, people who had, men who had died, and also many of the people who were on the protest in the prisons. And I met some of the families then whose children had been killed on active service with the IRA. And it was probably one of the most moving times of my life. I think I was able to bring into this, and knowing the history of the what it's interesting, there's a book I'm reading right now called Milkman, which is by Anna Burns, a young writer from the north of Ireland, and she has a wonderful style she has, but it's not referred to as the troubles there, it's referred to as the sorrows, and that's much more descriptive of what it was for the north of Ireland. It was actually the sorrows. And the devastation of that time was palpable, even though I wasn't in the north at the time, but I had many friends who were. And in my investigation in preparing for Some Mother's Son, which is a terrific film, by the way, it's the best depiction of the history of the hunger strike that I think has ever been filmed. So that gave me an insight that I think I was able to bring to this. And understand it, and I hope that people will be piqued into getting curious about that past history. And I think I gave a present to everybody in the cast of the previous cast of a copy of Ten Men Dead, which is probably the best book ever written on the hunger strike, and written by a journalist from the Guardian. At the time, and but it documents very, very well what was going on and what happened, and the pain and suffering of that time for the families was dreadful.
When your gig runs out here at the end of June, then what's next for you?
Oh, I'll probably never work again. You know, every actor feels that, you know, it's coming to the end of a run and you think, well, that's it. I should have taken the good job in the bank when they offered it to me, you know. But of course, there are no good jobs in the bank anymore, so I'll just have to continue acting. I don't know what's next. I'm going to go to Ireland for a month and recover. And a little film I did, a road movie I did in France last year, is going to be screened at the Galway Film Festival, which is in July. And I try to go to that festival every year because it's the place where I can see all my old pals and some of my old enemies and some of the new filmmakers, and can, you know, can stand around and chat and lie with the best of them. And I go to that, and always enjoyable, and I'm going to spend July there. And then maybe someone will remember, oh, yeah, she's might be available, you know.
Well, in the meantime, we'll have our fingers crossed and root for you for the Tony Award. It's a beautiful performance as Aunt Maggie Faraway in The Ferryman, playing at the Jacobs Theater. Fionnuala Flanagan, what a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe, very much. It's been a joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, Fionnuala Flanagan in The Ferryman on Broadway. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.